This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We are a couple days away from the start of baseball season here in Kansas City as the Royals open up their year against the Cleveland Guardians coming up on Thursday. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Really excited to tell you guys that Ryan LaFever will be in studio coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Very happy to talk to one of the voices for the Kansas City Royals in anticipation of the upcoming baseball season. We got a lot to get into in today's show, but I would like to start with, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, and I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. And number two, I need you to tell one friend about the show. It would be great if you could tell two people about the show, but you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. If you could tell one person to check out the show, I would greatly appreciate it. So there has been a little controversy of late. You guys remember yesterday, our very own Bob Fesco had this report.
Looks like from everybody you talk to, it seems like it's just about, you know, I's dotted, T's crossed, that this thing's going to be at 119th and Knoll at the Sprint campus. And just, you know, having the conversations with both people in Arizona, people here locally as well, kind of going back and forth and, you know, connecting the dots and all that kind of stuff. People are more and more talking about it like it is happening, you know, like there's no more well if, it's almost like when now it's going to be happening. And the interesting thing about the Sprint campus that I didn't realize and got this information over the weekend, I'm sure you could look it up as well if you wanted to. Do you realize that site is only 10 acres smaller than the sports complex right now where both stadiums are? So 10 acres is not a lot. I mean, that is not a lot. And you're only using it for one stadium. And the stadium is going, from what I've been told, inside where the parking garages are. Do yourself a favor, walk around and take kind of a look of where it is. The parking garage is on the Sprint campus. They're talking about putting the stadium inside, you know, those parking garages. I was told about 3 weeks ago or so, maybe at the beginning of this month, maybe late last month, that the Royals have reached out to the Jewish Community Center as well, wondering what it would take to purchase that land away from the J as well. Now, I'm told they don't need that land. They kind of just want it to complete the entire, you know, area that they have there. So I know that they've reached out to the Jewish Community Center as well to find out what it is. And I've also been told from multiple sources that representatives from the state of Kansas were down in Arizona.
All right. So that was the report from our very own Bob Fesco a couple of days ago. Here has been the fallout from that. On Monday, a spokesperson for the Jewish Community Center has come out and said that their CEO is unaware of such discussions or proposal. On Tuesday, the owner of the land that Bob is discussing in that clip we just played for you came out and said this: We are not, not is in all caps. We are not in discussions with the Royals about a new potential site for their stadium. Quote, there is a lot of speculation out there, but this is just a rumor. We are not talking to the Royals about moving to the Asperia campus. Asperia is now the people that own the space that Bob was talking about. Rob and I have two different theories about what is happening right now behind the scenes. Why don't we bring them to you? I think everybody listening has been in this situation at some point. Have you ever been around somebody that maybe talked about how much money they had or how great their life was, and then the more and more that you got to meet this individual, you find out that it was all nonsense? Like, they dress really nice, they have a nice car. You're thinking that they are doing really well for themselves. But then the more that you spend time around this person, you realize that it's all fake. You go on their Instagram and it certainly looks shiny and it looks pretty, but all of it is a facade. None of it is real. At least my theory on what is happening, and Rob has a different theory, and Rob's going to tell you that theory. But my theory on this is, I think Kansas wants you to think that their deal to try to attract the teams is far better than what it is. I don't think you come out as the Jewish Community Center or the other owner of the land, Asperia, I don't think you come out emphatically and say, hey, that's not happening. At least if it was happening behind the scenes, I think you would just not say anything. You guys know my theory when it comes to PR and this information. Just say nothing. Time always moves forward. There is a bigger story. There is something else that happens. Baseball starts in a couple of days. And the public consciousness for these stories and their attention, it moves so quickly. What can be a story Monday morning? People are tired of hearing about it by Monday at 3 o'clock because the news cycle moves so fast. The Jewish Community Center didn't have to come out and say anything about this. Neither did Asperia. Everybody just could have stayed quiet and continue to work in the shadows. But for the Jewish Community Center to come out in less than 24 hours and say, no, this is not true, to have the owners of the land that Bob was just talking about come out and say, no, that's not true, tells me this is not true. This is in no way to knock down Bob's reporting. I absolutely believe that Bob was told this by people in the know. But we got a saying on this show. Where do you think the information comes from? And all of the information that has been spread about the stadium over the last 10 days, whether it was the report from Kevin Keatsman, whether it was the report from Bob Fesco just a couple of days on these airwaves, are telling you that the people in Kansas, to me, are counting their chickens before they hatch. They feel really, really confident about this plan. And I will always maintain this. And this is just not me speaking from the Missourian. This is me speaking from someone who has been following this the whole time. What reason do we have to believe that the Royals are moving to Kansas? Let's remove the Chiefs from this. I think the Chiefs are separate from this. I think the Chiefs could move to Kansas. The Royals from day one have communicated their desire to be in downtown Kansas City. How do you go from the crossroads? How do you go from Washington Park to 119th and all in the Sprint campus? We know enough about billionaires to know that they usually get their way, right? They usually don't quit on a 1/8, 3/8 of a cent sales tax that was proposed to give them $30 million. The amount of money we were talking about is not that great of an amount that you would now quit your plan. I don't think that John Sherman ever buys the Royals if he doesn't have the intention of at one point moving their stadium to downtown. I don't think you go from being a self-made billionaire where you have accumulated enough wealth where you could buy a baseball team with the idea of putting it in downtown Kansas City, and now your goal now changes from that, a main reason of why I believe that you bought the team, to now move the team to the suburbs of Overland Park. I never thought that it made sense. I think Bob is being told this by people that would know on the Kansas side. I think they have been selling the people of Kansas an Instagram dream for the last year. Missouri looks vulnerable. Missouri's not fighting back. They're not saying anything. And Kansas is trying to make it seem like it's a lot better than what it was. We got star bonds. We got all these tax breaks. Sure, we're taking the team. And they're talking to anybody that will listen about this. This site never made sense to me for the Royals. And I said yesterday on the show, and you can pull the audio, it does not change what the Royals' biggest problem is. Their biggest problem is the Kansas City Metro is not interested in going to their games on a Monday or Tuesday night. This just simply moves their problem from Raytown and Independence. It now moves it to Overland Park. It doesn't solve anything. I don't think the Royals just want a new stadium. I think the Royals want a downtown stadium. And I don't think they are going to stop until eventually they have a downtown stadium. Now, it will take some creativity, but trust me, they are not going to pay for this thing all by themselves. Me and you will still likely pay for this stadium, regardless of where they put it. But I think we know enough about American society and the way that business works is the billionaire helped drum up $1 billion to buy the Royals with the intention of their television contract is not good enough for you to spend $1 billion. The money is buying the stadium, owning the land around the stadium, and making money off of the stadium. You don't buy that stadium, in my opinion, to move them to 119th and all. So that is at least my theory on this, Rob. You have your own theory about this. What is your theory about the news that we just have?
So I don't think our theories are all that far off. I think we're very much heading in the same direction. We just get off at different exits, if you'd like a travel analogy. I think clearly Bob and other people in the media are getting reports, but I don't think it's from Kansas. I think it's from the teams, because if we look at the news we are getting on the stadium, it's from our own Bob Fesco. I trust Bob Fesco. Bob Fesco is not going to air with just nonsense. He, Mac, and Dusty don't get in the morning, sit at their desk, and just say, let's just make up reports and see what flies today. Bob has been doing this for a long time. I think he's being told something. Look at the other report we got from 95.7. That is another grizzled radio vet in town. I don't believe that person just goes out on a limb because vibes. I believe they both were getting told something from sources they trusted. And I think those sources both emanate from the teams. Because Carrington, what is one thing that sends Missourians into a froth? It's the idea of losing the teams to Kansas. And I think when you hear about all the behind-the-scenes stuff, Missouri does not have their blank together, and I think both ownership of both teams would like Missouri, downtown or whatever, to keep their respective teams. Well, every time Missouri's been given a chance to do it, they fumbled the bag. So I think teams are putting reports out in the media through separate entities, albeit veteran entities in the industry, pushing the notion that Kansas is close. And if Kansas is close, maybe the powers that be in Missouri will stop stepping on themselves and get stuff together. But for now, I think the teams are floating Kansas to try to get Missouri to have a laser focus to keep the team, because we both know if either team leaves Missouri, it is going to be because Missouri fumbled it, because they're going to get ample opportunity to keep it. I think this is step one of the teams creating the narrative, you did not keep us, more so than anything else.
Text line 913-586-7965, CDOT. They didn't say that they're not talking to the Royals. That simply means that they could be talking to a developer or a real estate broker. I don't think that the two people could be more clear about it. The Jewish Community Center said that their CEO is unaware of these conversations. I feel like he would be in the know about it. The owner of the building, the owner of the space, the commercial real estate and management company came out and said, we are not in discussion with the Royals about a potential new site for their stadium. If you were and you were doing this behind the scenes, you want to know what you would do? We don't have a comment at this time. That's all you need to say. We don't have a comment at this time. You didn't admit anything. You didn't deny anything. We do not have a comment at this time. And you know what? The story simply goes away. It goes away. I don't think the Royals are moving to 119th and Nall. I don't think they're moving out there. I told you guys that yesterday. I don't think they're moving out there. I believe that the Royals will be in downtown Kansas City. I can't tell you exactly where they'll be in downtown Kansas City, but I believe that the Royals will be in downtown Kansas City. The Chiefs are a completely different beast. Yes, Kansas is a very viable threat. The Chiefs could very well be right next to Hollywood Casino, right next to the Kansas Speedway. The Royals are not moving out to the suburbs. They are going to stay in the metro inner city area of Kansas City, Missouri. We got Ryan LaFever coming up in an hour. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Trey Smith was on Kay Adams' show yesterday. We didn't get a chance to talk about it while we were out at Boulevard. No time like the present. Trey Smith was asked if he wants to stay in Kansas City long term. I certainly would like to stay in Kansas City long term if I'm Trey Smith. They just committed to giving me at least $23.4 million this year, and they won the Super Bowl two of the last three seasons. Seems like a really great place to continue coming to work, but here's his answer.
Really cool to see T getting paid. You know, ultimately, man, I can only focus on just working out and training, you know, and I love Kansas City. It's my home. I love the Chiefs. The fans in Kansas City are some of the best people I've ever been around. And, you know, ultimately, I would love to stay there. That's my plan.
So Rob and I were having this conversation, this debate earlier, and I believe they had this on the Midday Show. Is the Chiefs offseason a failure if they don't sign Trey Smith to a long-term deal? Now, Rob and I are just on different sides when it comes to roster building and how you go about constructing your roster and also getting everybody to fit underneath the salary cap. We're just on different sides. Now, if I had told you guys at the very beginning, and I'd given you the ability for hindsight, so maybe that's a different way of saying it. If I told you, hey, coming out of college, Trey Smith is going to be an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber interior offensive lineman, and the Chiefs have agreed to sign him to a five-year, $30 million deal where the entire contract is guaranteed. I think everybody listening right now says, yeah, that's a great deal for the Kansas City Chiefs. Look at what he's turned into. Look at the kind of player that he is, what he's been in this locker room, what he's been in this community. We think that's a really good deal. If the Chiefs don't do another thing with Trey Smith and let him walk at the end of this upcoming season, so he is a free agent in 2026, that is exactly what will happen. The Chiefs will have paid Trey Smith $29.9 million for five seasons, which is nothing. Now, they paid a majority of that on the back half of the deal is where I think Rob is going to have the problem when it comes to Trey Smith. Where I will defend the Chiefs if they don't get a deal done is here. This is where I'll defend them. You, A, have no dead money at the end of this contract, have the ability to completely walk away from the deal, and then do whatever you want with the cap space. That's number one that you have the ability to do. I already gave you the numbers over the totality of the deal. I still think that that's a pretty good deal. I also don't think at any point that the Chiefs franchise tagging Trey Smith has stopped them from what I believe their original plan was. Sure, I maybe wanted them to go out and get DK Metcalf or spend more at wide receiver. It is obvious that that was not the Chiefs' plan for the 2025 offseason. Their plan was keeping their own. And all the ones that I think they wanted to keep, they've kept. I don't think the Chiefs have lost a single player that they wanted to bring back. I don't think the Chiefs wanted to bring Justin Reed back. They have been preparing for the last two offseasons to walk away from Justin Reed. Look at Shamari Connor. Look at Brian Cook. Look at Jaden Hicks. They are fine to let Justin Reed go get a raise from the New Orleans Saints. They wanted to keep Trey Smith. They franchise tagged him. In fact, he's the only franchise tag player in the National Football League. They wanted to keep Nick Bolton. They paid him a long-term extension. Look at all the one-year deals that they've offered. Juju is back. Mike Pinnell is back. Everybody that I think the Chiefs really wanted to keep, I think they've kept. I don't think that the Trey Smith franchise tag has really limited them for anything. The Chiefs are done. They're done making moves. They're either going to continue to sign those one-year veterans with players that you know and players that you've heard of, players that they know fit their system, or they're adding through the NFL draft. And I think if the Chiefs need to create some cap space around the NFL trade deadline to take on a DeAndre Hopkins type, to take on a player of that, I think they have the ability to do it. I don't think that Trey Smith being locked up under a franchise tag, I don't think it stops the Chiefs from doing anything from a business side that I think they really want to do. So I don't really think they have to get a deal done. I don't think it's imperative that they get a deal done. I think the Chiefs would like to get a deal done and are working towards it, but I don't think the Chiefs feel like we desperately have to get anything done with Trey Smith. I think they have built their roster in a way that they can absorb a one-year franchise tag with any player that's on their team, and that includes Trey Smith.
So I just see it differently than you, and that's fine. I'm going to ask you a question that you ask a lot on the show. is paying a good player a great contract smart business? The answer is no. Do you think if Trey Smith is a one and done in Kansas City on this next deal and they don't get him extended long term, do you think he is worth 23 point whatever million dollars for a right guard? The answer is probably no.
But this is where I'll push back just a little bit, though. I don't think you can get yourself in trouble in a one-year deal in the National Football League. Where you usually get yourself in trouble is somebody like Juwan Taylor.
I would also say one-year contract is usually not $23 million. 100%. It's unique that way.
It is definitely not ideal for you to have a player play on the franchise tag. But if you were telling me that you were going to have that player play under the franchise tag, and then at the end you can have a clean break, no dead cap, you don't owe him anything, he can go be a true free agent, and you'll see what compensatory pick you get back. And now you can take that $23.4 million and use that to potentially get your right tackle for next year. Potentially use that to go pick up a wide receiver or a pass rusher or what else that you need. I don't think getting those resources back at the end of the season is a bad thing. This is where I disagree with people. This is the same argument that people make about buying your home and renting a home. Well, if you rent your home, you don't have anything at the end. Yeah, but you also weren't homeless for the last 7 years. Like, that has to factor in, right? You had a place to live for the last 7 years. So, yes, at the end of it, you don't have that asset. You can't transfer it over. You also had a roof over your head. Now you have the ability to go rent another place that gives you the ability for a clean break at the end. Or if you want to make the decision to buy a home, great. A lot of people own homes. I think we have gotten so caught up in you got to get something at the end for every free agent that you get, that you can't just let guys walk in free agency. You got to get a third round pick. Well, what you get back is now the open and available cap space to go do what you need to do. You now get $23 million that now you can redistribute that amongst your team. Every team in the NFL is fighting the same fight. We have X number, we have X amount of dollars, and we are trying to fit a set amount of players inside that structure. Everybody has the same rule. I think the Chiefs have shown you for this season that they have enough to fit their roster underneath the guidelines of the salary cap. There is not a player that you and I think they have not been able to get because they have Trey Smith under the franchise tag. They were not getting DK Metcalf. They were not going to be major players at the positions that you and I wanted to be. They've shown you what their plan was. Their plan was keeping Nick Bolton. Their plan was getting Christian Fulton on a team-friendly deal. I just don't think that stops that.
I don't think it has stopped any business this year, but I think it would be a real problem if you're going into next season. I actually agree with you. I don't think it's detrimental to what they wanted to do in 2025. But failing to get him locked up long-term creates massive problems in 26 and down the line. You and I both think Juwan Taylor is done at the end of this season in Kansas City because there's absolutely no financial incentive to keep him.
Yeah, no.
There's a chance Jalen Moore is no good. We don't know. You can get out from that contract at the end of 1 year. We really don't know if Kingsley Suamataia is any good at left guard either, for what it's worth.
They got a lot of question marks.
They have a lot of question marks. One of the only certainty they have at O-line right now is Creed Humphrey. And if you don't get Trey Smith locked up long term, you are going into next offseason with all the same uncertainty, maybe a little less, but just as much. So I think the Chiefs' plan was we walk on Tooney and we're going to keep Trey Smith, the younger player, the better player, all the cheaper, what all the things, all the reasons they kept Trey Smith. If it's a one and done and you walked on Joe Tooney to then only get 1 year of Trey Smith, I think that is a poor financial decision, a poor team building decision. And that's where I think it's maybe not a failure, but it's a massive disappointment of an offseason if it's August 31st and we know, hey, Trey Smith's going to play one more year on the tag, similar to how Orlando Brown did.
Yeah, but I guess, though, this would be maybe where I think you're being a little bit unfair is, let's say that they don't reach that long-term extension with Trey Smith and they walk on and they take that money and they spend that on a position of value. Isn't that exactly what you and I want them to do? Like, right now. You and I do not want them to give Trey Smith $60 million guaranteed. I don't think that's a good contract. I don't think it's smart to invest cornerback money, high-end wide receiver money on your right guard. In fact, that's exactly what I hope that they do. I hope the Chiefs sign him to a one-year deal. I hope they let him walk at the end of the season, and I hope they take that money, and I hope they give it to Trent McDuffie. I hope they take that 20-something million dollars, and I hope they find a solid right tackle in replacing Juwan Taylor for next season. I want them to take the resources that they currently have locked up on maybe the 18th, 19th most important position on the field, and I hope they transfer that money to the second or third most important position on the field. So I'm perfectly fine if they don't sign Trey Smith to a contract. I would have let Trey Smith walk in free agency this season. I would have let him walk in free agency. So I'm certainly not going to feel like it's a failure if they don't give their right guard $55 or $60 million guaranteed while they still don't have a deal in place for one of the five best corners in the National Football League. The fact that we are even having this conversation that the right guard could be in line to get paid before the 20-something-year-old corner makes absolutely no sense to me why we would be doing that.
I think there's, what do we always say on the show? There's the world as it should be and the world the way it is. Me and you would have walked on Trey Smith because right guard at $25 million is, you're right, absolutely banana land. But it's time to talk about the world we live in. They've made their decision. They have been very, very, you know, adamant. We love Trey Smith. We want Trey Smith. All the things. So now if you're going to say all that and you're going to give Trey Smith $23 million for 1 year to then not lock him up, I think that's a pretty big swing and a miss of your offseason. If you are going to act and move like our right guard is a vital part of our future and then not make him part of your future, that seems like a fumble to me. But you're right. Me and you wouldn't have made right guard part of their future. But they have.
Coming up in about 45 minutes or so, we are going to be joined in studio by Ryan LaFever, one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals. You know what? Let's take a little bit of a break and let's celebrate baseball season coming back to Kansas City and back around the country. So yesterday I told you guys that the Royals had a little influencer food, a little gathering. And for some reason, Rob had this information and didn't try to put your boy on. You would think, as my brother, as my friend, as my fellow coworker, if he had an easy layup, you would think that he would be the one to give me the assist. But no, Rob is selfish. Rob didn't think about me and was only thinking about himself. He didn't even forward me the email, and it's really caused some behind-the-scenes strife on this show. So I asked Rob to do this. Since we couldn't go to the Royals little shindig that they had, maybe we can go around the rest of the country. So, Rob, I know that the Royals are not the only one with some new food items that are out there. Why don't you hit the music? Why don't we take a trip around Major League Baseball and let's see some of the other food options? So maybe you're going to see the Royals on the road this weekend. Maybe you're going to Wrigley. Maybe you're going to Yankee Stadium. Maybe you're going to Dodger Stadium. Maybe you're going to Seattle. I don't know what your vacation plans are this summer. Well, if you stop by some of these ballparks, you can pick up some of the local cuisine. Hit me, Rob.
All right, Carrington, Aramark is introducing 20-some-odd new food items across 8 different ballparks this summer. We're not going to go through every single food item. Who has the time for that? So I'm going to give you one at a couple of the ballparks. Let's start in New York. Citi Field this year, if you're headed up there for a Mets game for whatever reason, if you think no to iconic Yankee Stadium, yes to Citi Field as a fan, you have a chance to try this new food item. It is the pulled barbecue jackfruit. It is a vegan-friendly barbecue option with barbecue braised jackfruit on a vegan pretzel bun topped with vegan coleslaw. Carrington, are you eating this when you head to go watch the Mets?
I'm born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. You think I'm going to New York to eat fake barbecue? Not real barbecue, fake barbecue. No, this isn't even something I would consider trying. What the hell is jackfruit? What is that? Is there like a jackfruit tree? That sounds something man-made. That doesn't sound like something that you can go. That doesn't sound God-given to us. That sounds like a man-made fruit that they came up with. No, I'm not eating your fake barbecue at the baseball game. That's insulting that you would even ask me that. I can't believe you just told me there were 20-something options and you picked the fake barbecue option as one of them for us to go through. No.
Let's say you're on an East Coast swing and head down to Philadelphia to Citizens Bank Ballpark. They have a new food item. It's the S'mores Quesadilla. Carrington, this is Nutella and mini marshmallows with a graham cracker crumble inside a crispy flour tortilla served with a chocolate dipping sauce. Are you a fan of the dessert S'mores Quesadilla in Philadelphia?
Hey, that do sound kind of tasty. I ain't gonna lie to you. That S'mores Quesadilla. That is something I would try one time. Let's say you go to 7-8 Phillies games. You're there. You know what? The little ones want a little sweet treat. Yeah, you go out there and get you a little s'mores quesadilla. You can dip it in the marshmallow sauce. Yeah, absolutely. I'm rocking with that. I like the s'mores quesadilla. Certainly better than that fake barbecue you just offered us.
Who doesn't like a nice fake jackfruit barbecue?
Jackfruit barbecue sounds nuts. That sounds like something on the game Animal Crossing.
Ugh. Let's say you're heading out west to see the Rockies play. By the way, low-key, very underrated ballpark to go to.
I don't think it's a low-key or underrated. I think that it's one of the best ballparks in America.
It's fantastic. It's also not in the suburbs, but that's neither here nor there.
It's in downtown. It's great. You just walk outside and just weed and breweries everywhere. It's amazing time.
And you're heading over to Coors.
Now, the one thing, though, the baseball inside, terrible, by the way. Awful, by the way. But, yeah, you go outside. It's a great time.
I mean, I'm betting most people in text line right now can't name 5 Rockies.
I couldn't name 5 Rockies. Other people couldn't name 5 Rockies. I don't think I could name 1 Rocky. Balboa. ASAP. Those are the only Rockies I know. I can't name 5 Rockies.
They're also offering a new dessert option at Coors Field this year. It's the dessert nachos. It's fried flour tortillas tossed in cinnamon sugar, served with fresh berries and powdered sugar, along with a caramel drizzle and whipped cream. Carrington, you are in on the Nutella quesadilla. Are you in on dessert nachos?
You know what? I am in on the dessert nachos. Again, this is something for the summer months. I don't think I'm getting this in March, but you're telling me it's June, it's July. I got free tickets to the game, so the game didn't really cost me anything. You know what? I might splurge and get the $22 option. I might try the dessert nachos while I'm there. I might try the s'mores quesadilla. I'm not against this. I'm giving this a thumbs up. I'm absolutely rocking with it.
Let's say you're heading this summer to go see our friend Ron the Show Hughley, and you're heading to an Astros game at their new ballpark. It used to be the Juice Box. You had a great name. Now it's Daikin Park, D-A-I-K-I-N. We got to stop with corporate names on ballparks, but that's neither here nor there.
What you just said sounds like a violation. I'm just going to go ahead and leave that alone. Let's move forward.
The home of the Houston Astros, they have the Daddy Mac Dog, Carrington. It's a foot-long Angus beef frank.
Yo, you said a lot of violation words in here. It's a foot-long Angus beef dog?
Foot-long Angus beef frank. Covered in chopped brisket, mac and cheese, barbecue sauce, and crispy dill pickles. Are you trying the Daddy Mac Dog down in Houston?
All right, let me ask you this. Can I take the pickles off?
Presumably, yeah.
Yeah, then of course, absolutely. No question about it. I don't know why it needs pickles on there, but everything else you said actually sounds pretty good. Everything else that you included in that sounds like an A1 ballpark treat. I would get that regular. That sounds amazing. I don't need the chopped pickles, though, on the top. Why are we garnishing it with the pickle?
I mean, you know what it sounds? Heavy. It does not sound like it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Maybe not an IPA day down in Houston if you're going to have that one. Make it a quirk, because that's how to wash it down.
No, definitely.
Let's say you're heading to one of the most iconic ballparks in baseball. You're heading to Fenway. This year, they got something new. It is the Gourmet Grilled Cheese.
Have you ever been to Fenway before?
I haven't.
That's still on my list of places I want to go to. I want to go to Fenway. I want to go on a nice spring or summer day. I want to be at the Monster.
The problem is, outside of Fenway, Boston doesn't move me to do stuff up there. So, I would go to Fenway and come home.
You know what? It might be good to, go in May, and maybe you can pull the double dip. You can see the baseball team, and you can go see the basketball team, and you can just knock both of them out and make it a real sports weekend. I'm sure that will present itself, especially because we think Boston's going to make a deep run in the NBA playoffs.
It has been, I have always wanted to boo Jason Tatum in person. That's on my, that's on my bucket list. They're offering a new item.
A real great American.
It's a classic gourmet grilled cheese. It's a classic grilled cheese sandwich made with fancy Cabot cheese served inside a sourdough bread. You can also add special fillings if you so choose. Carrington, are you getting a grilled cheese sandwich when you head to Fenway?
What are some of the special fillings that you can add?
It says each spot will have different fillings.
Okay. You know, I don't like grilled cheese sandwiches. This, I'm telling you, there never has been a time where I've eaten a sandwich and I thought, man, you know what? This sandwich would be better if you remove the protein from it. There never have been a time. I don't even understand people's love of the grilled cheese sandwich. I love the meat so much. the ham, the turkey. I love all of those things. Why am I removing those things from the sandwich? It doesn't make any sense. No. You're telling me I'm going to spend $17 to $22 on bread and cheese? No, thank you. No, not at all. That's crazy to me.
Final one, Carrington Group, against the break. The Pirates, by the way, another. Maybe this is not low-key either. PNC Park. Gorgeous.
I've actually never been before.
I've never been either, but the
I've heard it's good, though. I've heard the PNC Park is nice.
They have a new food item, Carrington. It's called the Polish Cannonball. It's egg noodles, kielbasa, cabbage, bacon, cheddar cheese, and an herb crema dip. Are you trying the Polish Cannonball?
They got a what? A herb dip?
An herb crema dip. And it's egg noodles, kielbasa, cabbage, bacon, and cheddar cheese.
Okay. I'm not paying for it. Would I let you order one and then say, hey, would you give it a try? Sure. I'm happy to do that. I'm not handing them my debit card to pay for that. Absolutely not. I'm not doing that. What was it again? What was all those things?
It's got egg noodles, kielbasa, cabbage, bacon, cheddar cheese, and herb crema dip.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to pass on that one. No thanks. Hey, can you just give me a hot dog? That's what I'm just going to ask. Hey, can you just give me some regular old American nachos? You know, I don't need anything. You don't got to put any jalapenos with mine. You don't got to put anything with it. Just chips, cheese. That's all I need. I'd rather have that than have what you just offered to me. I'm not interested in whatever that was that you just told me. I'm not interested at all. All right, coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we are going to be joined by Ryan LaFever, one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals. Coming up on the other side, I do think there are two things that we can say pretty emphatically at this point. I'll tell you what they are. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, the ratings are out for the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. And let me tell you, they were incredibly strong. We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, I think there are two things that have been pretty much solidified over the last 10 days or so. And maybe you haven't been paying attention because you've been watching college basketball, and I certainly get it. But the first thing that I think has been solidified is Cam Ward is going to be the number one overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. I know there was a time that we believed that the Titans were going to trade the number one overall pick. And maybe they would trade it to the Giants. Maybe they would trade it to the Browns. Whomever you thought was in the conversation for the number one overall pick, Cam Ward's pro day solidified that. On Monday afternoon, he went out there and locked himself in to being the number one overall pick. When the sentiment coming out of pro day is that your arm was better in person than it was on tape, and you played the way that you played this season at the University of Florida, there is no more conversation at this point. Cam Ward will be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Now, what does that mean for the rest of the draft? This now puts Cleveland on the clock, in my opinion. So the top quarterback is off the board from the University of Miami, Cam Ward. Roger Goodell shakes his hand. Cool. It's a great moment in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right, let's move on. Now, what do the Browns do? I don't think the Browns are taking Travis Hunter. I don't think they're taking him. I think they're either taking Shedeur Sanders or they're taking Abdul Carter. I could see them taking a quarterback and them feeling like, well, we're not going to select here very high in the upcoming years, so let's take the quarterback now because we have the opportunity to. Or I could see them taking who many people think is the best player on the board. And I do think you can argue Travis Hunter is probably number one, but I don't think they're taking a corner slash wide receiver with the number two overall pick. I think they're going to take who some people feel is the number one player. I'd put him as the number two player, and you take Abdul Carter. He's a guy who comes from a great university, a proven pass rusher who can set the edge and could be a Pro Bowl caliber guy. You pair him with Myles Garrett, you lock that contract in, and now you feel like you could potentially have the best pass rush in the National Football League. You got to try to build something that is elite if you are the Cleveland Browns, and you have a chance to build maybe the best pass rush in the National Football League. I'm not sure if they're going to pass on that or not. I also just think that number two is just too high for Shedeur Sanders, and I wouldn't use the number two overall pick on him. But I do think that we have at least locked in with the number one overall pick. I don't know what the odds are right now for Cam Ward, but if they're like minus 400 or something, I would tell you to run to go ahead and take it, because it's about to jump up a lot here in the next couple of days. I think that conversation is over. I think he's going to the Tennessee Titans. The other conversation that I think is over. Now, I think it requires some nuance that people maybe don't want to have when it comes to this topic, because everyone has just determined what their side is on this player. Bronny James is a legitimate NBA prospect. I did not call him an NBA player. He is a legitimate NBA prospect. Over the last 10 days, Bronny scored 20 points in an NBA game, and he just dropped 40 in the G League. Now, both things can be true, and I don't know why we've done this with Bronny. Yes, he was drafted because of who his pops was. There is no question about that. There is no argument that that is the case. But, like most people, your parent, your uncle, your whoever got you the job and got you the opportunity. It is now up to you to keep yourself in the room. It is now up to you to show that you belong to be there. I think he's shown that. You just dropped 20 a couple of weeks ago against the Milwaukee Bucks. You just dropped 40 in the G League. Right now, you're averaging 20-7 in the G League on 40% shooting. You've shown you are a legitimate prospect. Now, let's see how your game continues to grow. And I get it. People don't like LeBron. People don't like what happened. They feel like LeBron and his management team manipulated the situation and put this kid in a scenario that he didn't earn. But now that we are seeing it play itself out on the court, which is all most of us wanted to have see happen, was to see if your game was worthy of this. I think we are seeing it is. I think he's shown he's a legitimate NBA prospect. Now, what does that turn into? Is he going to be a guy that develops into a rotational piece that you can legitimately use consistently in the league? Let's see how it works. But for a kid that has been criticized by just about everybody, for a kid who didn't get a lot of college basketball experience because of the heart attack that he had, what, a year and a half ago, I think his game is developing kind of well. He seems to be putting his head down. He seems to be doing the work. He seems to have a good attitude about it. I haven't heard any problems from Bronny. The problems seem to be from everybody else around him. Isn't that what we wanted him to do? Sure, you got this opportunity. Your pops got you the job. Well, can you keep the job? Or are you worthy of being here? I'm telling you, it ain't easy to just pop down in the G League against adults and drop 40 the way that he just did. So I think two things are solidified at this point. It now makes sense why the Lakers spent the 55th overall pick. I don't know when we started getting so sanctimonious about late round, second round picks in the NBA the way that we did. But I think we can say now that Bronny, at least as a prospect, is certainly worthy of you taking a lottery ticket at the back half of the NBA draft and using a lottery pick on him. And the Cam Ward conversation is over. There's no more Cam Ward conversation to be had. We know who the number one overall pick is. There's no more reason to discuss it. That is over. It is Cam Ward. It should be Cam Ward. I'm optimistic about him. I think he's a chance to be a good quarterback in the league. I think there are a lot of strengths that I saw while he was in Miami. I think he's somebody that just has it. I saw that a lot in Miami. Miami's a team that makes the college football playoff last year. If they could play a shred of defense last year, that team couldn't stop anybody last season. They were in that position because they had the best quarterback in college football last year, and I think that was him. I think he was the best quarterback in college football. He is certainly worthy of the number one overall pick, in my opinion. All right, coming up on the other side, let's talk a little bit of basketball as we head into the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, and the ratings are out. People watched it in big numbers. What does that mean? Keep it right here, Sir Drive.